T-Mill, Clint, Ron. Right now, The Drive is live.
That's right. The Drive is live, and we are live right here on a Thursday. And we got a lot going on. The Astros, they are in a tight one in Philly, looking to win this series as they are tied up at one right now in the eighth inning. We will keep you updated and abreast on what's happening there. By the way, the opening week. This is opening week. Opening week coverage on 95.7 The Fan is presented by Hands-Free Skechers Slip-Ins. Just step in and go. Speaking of stepping in and go, my man Christian Javier is a story. He's up here saying, hold on now, I'm going to make me a late run here.
Yeah.
I'm going to make me a late run here and trying to get myself in this rotation as he goes another six innings. Clint, one earned run, five strikeouts, one walk, got out of a big jam. Well, a mini jam, but it was a big jam with Kyle Schwarber in the top of their lineup coming up and was able to strike out Schwarber and strike out Turner and absolutely was able to get out of a big, big potential inning. And they stay tied here at one. And big game, Bennett Sousa was able to get through the
– Boy, you talking about you was clinching back in the day with your dream? I look up there and Sousa's pitching. Boy, I'm clenched up myself, man.
Oh, man.
He scares the hell out of me, man. Not quite as bad as King, but he scares me.
King doesn't scare you anymore. You just know what's happening with Brian. Man. I mean, you know what's happening with BK at this point.
But on the Javier front, that's big. I mean, this is why you three hits to this team? Yeah, this is why you stick with him, because he's got that big game in him, right?
He is nasty.
I don't know what the other guys, you know, down the line here, I don't know what they have or don't have. But I know Javier, every time he touches that bump, there's a chance that he could have that big game. He could have that elite stuff and shut down a lineup like this right here. And so that's why you stick with him, man. You hope he can just be more consistent after coming back off from injury earlier in the season.
At the very least, you had to feel pretty good. I know Blue Ball had a bit of a night last night, but you got to feel pretty good about him and Blue Ball being guys that can piggyback off of some of your other starters, where especially in the postseason where the leash is shorter, if Lambert may get into some trouble and you want to go in and get him, if Wisniewski may get into some trouble and go in and get it. We'll talk about this later, because right now at this point, Tyler, it ain't beyond Hunter Brown to get into some trouble and maybe have to go out there and get him. If Josh Miller's ass has to walk out on, all right, I'm not even going to get started on Hunter Brown right now because I get myself good and heated about my expectations with him. But that's where we are right now. It is a 1-1 ball game, and the Astros are threatening here. We'll let you know the latest of what is happening and keep you abreast on that situation. Last night, the NFL kicked off, Clint, and the Patriots go up there and blow a fourth quarter lead, a double digit lead in the fourth quarter. They lose to Drew Lock, the backup quarterback, and Drake May, 3 fourth quarter interceptions. He was just awful. I mean, awful in the third quarter. No explanation or excuses for some of the throws he made late there.
Inexcusable. I mean, throwing a jump ball to Dobbs versus a true cover two.
That was his best.
I mean, that was
his best decision.
I love the world that we're living in, where the commentators go, "Yeah, he's a true 50-50 ball guy. Just throw it up." No, man, that was cover two. That was true cover two to that side of the field. I think it was actually six, but it was cover two to that side of the field. You're just like, no, that was a junior high bad decision.
Yeah,
I mean, I remember throwing a touchdown, I think against Alabama one year on something like that. And it was like everybody's cheering. I'm like, come on, man. That was a terrible decision. I had no business throwing that ball. It was a major mistake. Drake made that. He got to be ashamed. All three of those were terrible decisions.
Yeah, just rough. Something that's not a terrible decision is when we are joined by, I think many people's favorites, one of their growing favorite players, and that is the first draft pick of the Houston Texans. Their starting offensive lineman, Mr. Keelan Rutledge. Keelan, man, we appreciate you joining us.
Yes, sir. Appreciate y'all having me.
Oh, man, here, hey, we can get this yes, sir thing right on out of the way here, Keelan. I'm going to be honest with you. I've been wanting to talk to you, and I've been wanting to ask you a couple of questions, and the first thing I need to know is, Keelan, I sense a little soul coming out of you. And I think the dead giveaway was that haircut that you are rolling with, Keelan. What I need to know is, did you start wearing this? Because, hey, you faded up nice. No disrespect to people at Great Clips, but that's not a Great Clips cut. I need to know who's cutting that head, and was you doing that before you got to Atlanta?
Yeah, a little bit. I've kind of had all sorts of haircuts for a while. I had some curls on top, a little fade on the bottom.
Yeah,
but,
I caught that.
Yeah.
Hey, Keelan, let me clean this up for you. You got a black barber?
Yeah, for sure.
That's what my boy. That's what my boy's trying
to
ask.
I just know who's cutting that head. That's it. No, man, we appreciate you doing this, man. What are you looking forward to, man? This is your first action in the NFL as you kick things off against a tough opponent in the Buffalo Bills. What are you looking forward to coming up on Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, just getting out there, obviously, first time real season action, so it'd be great. Just getting out there, just looking forward to being able to run the ball, establish the ground game up front, and just, you know, control the game the way we want to up front, so it'd be fun.
Hey, Keelan, talk a little bit about, I mean, look, we're all human here, man. We like to get patted on the ass every now and then. Now all the players do. Nick Caserio last week, I can't remember what if it's press conference or when he joined our morning show, but you know, he went in on Keelan Rutledge being the best offensive lineman in the group, and I don't want to get off into whether you believe that or not. That's a hell of a compliment from the general manager to a rookie offensive lineman. Is that just your thoughts on kind of where you stand in his eyes and how big of a compliment that is?
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate him saying that and stuff like that, but I mean, I think just how I'm critical of myself, I think I got a lot to work on. There's obviously a lot of stuff I bring to the table, but just try to be me every day. Just try to bring that certain attitude. Just try to go out there and be the most physical guy and kind of lift the guys around me and just be who I am, be who I've always been. So that's kind of how I take it.
Has that always been Keelan Rutledge, Texans first round pick, offensive lineman, joining us here on The Fan? It seems like obviously your physical play has really been impressive, but I think a lot of people are viewing from a leadership standpoint, it seems like almost the changing of the tone from that offensive line group. Is that something that's just natural for you, or is that something that you really were mindful of trying to bring when you got here?
No, I mean, I think that's always been me since I can remember. I've always kind of been, you know, really super competitive, wired a certain way, and kind of bring that kind of swagger to the game. That's kind of who I've always been. So obviously, you know, I've got, you know, from high school to college, transferred that over, and then, you know, going from Middle Tennessee to Georgia Tech, I've always been the same guy. So when I got drafted here, I was like, hey, I'm going to just keep being me, and that's kind of what I've always brought to the table.
Hey, talk to us a little bit about that center guard rotation as far as starting camp at center and having those responsibilities and then moving over to guard. You know, how'd that shake out, and just what your thoughts are playing guard versus center, where you landed?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was great for me to get in the center action. Obviously, in college, you know, played all my time at guard. Did a little bit center. I was kind of always the emergency guy, just in case anything happened. But I think getting here and, you know, being thrown in that center with a lot of vets around you and you having to make the calls and, you know, get everybody on the right page was great for me, just because it slowed the game down for when I went back to guard. So I think just having that in my toolbox to be able to, like, hey, if there are injuries, I mean, that's a game of football we play. There's going to be injuries. So I can go over there. I can do this. I can do that. So it makes me a better football player and makes me see the game through kind of what the center has to do, which slows the game down at guard. So it was great for me.
Hey, big focus on the run game this year for the Houston Texans. I mean, that's the big change from previous years is we've got to run the football. We want to be a run the ball first team. You know, what is that messaging like where it all starts in the offensive line room?
Yeah, I mean, it always starts for both sides of the ball, always starts up front. So I think for us, getting the run game going is just, hey, starting with the mic, getting everybody on the same page, getting everybody comboed up, and then, you know, just going out there with a certain kind of attitude. I think when you run the game, it's technique and stuff, but it's like, hey, you got to move somebody from point A to point B, and that's kind of what we want to do, and that's what we want to establish. So it'd be good to get out there Sunday and kind of go do that.
Our listeners here are huge fans of this Texans team. They live and die, and it's no secret, and I think you know this, that the struggles over the last several years have been the offensive line. That's been a question every single year, and they have done a lot of different things to try to help this thing out. To our listeners, you're in the building every day. You're with these guys every day. Why should there be a belief that it will be different this year?
Yeah, I mean, I think just the way the O-line room's wired now, I can't speak from, you know, past experiences. Obviously, I wasn't here, but since I've been here, man, we got the right kind of guys in the building. We got guys that love ball, guys that kind of play with a certain kind of swagger, go out there and finish blocks, and I think we're building that, and obviously we've got a long ways to go. There's always room to improve, but I think we've got the right kind of guys, and you got dudes that are wired the right way. Stuff usually tends to figure its way out, so that's why you should be excited for it.
What's your favorite part of game day? I mean, the camaraderie is what everybody that played misses, obviously, when it's over. But your favorite part of game weekend? I know we're at home this weekend; we're not traveling, but just big picture, Keelan Rutledge, favorite part of leading up to a game once all the hay is in the barn.
Yeah, I mean, just the excitement. You get to go out there and do it with your guys, like you said. I mean, we put a lot of work in this all camp, having us five guys in particular kind of be on the same page, and obviously this whole offense. So getting to get out there and, you know, get some stuff going, see the offense succeed, see your brother beside you succeed. I mean, that's what you hope for. That's what you work for. And obviously, you know, as an O-lineman, you know, you want to go out there and punch somebody in the face and establish a run and set the tone. So I think those are things you really look forward to, and you're kind of giddy up. And just the opportunity, obviously, to play in the NFL. I mean, it's second to none. So super grateful for that. And it gets you excited, gets you goosebumps every time you think about it.
Yeah, when you say that, I feel like you really want to punch somebody in the face. Like I took like that. You might actually throw a punch in somebody's face coming up this weekend, man. We appreciate you stopping by and joining us, man. And good luck coming up on Sunday, as everybody here will be rooting for you guys.
Yes, sir. I appreciate y'all having me on.
All right, there he is. That is Keelan Rutledge, Black Barber all the way. I didn't know.
I knew what you was trying to get out.
I just want to know who's cutting his hair.
Not all whites look the same.
There are some white guys that can pull it off. I've seen barbershop. Well, actually, the white guy there, he was the best cut in the whole house.
Yeah, I mean, look, don't leave the Hispanic community out.
Yeah, you know,
That may be the tightest fades in the Houston area now. So yeah, I think you're pretty safe around here. You're pretty safe.
Well, I know that wasn't great clips.
No, you were right there. But I knew you started that spiel where you were going. Let me get this out of the way. Let me be the guy to do it.
Like, I know that wasn't great clips for you.
Nah, it wasn't miracle cuts or whatever used to be around.
All right, coming up, we'll keep you updated on what's going on with the Astros as they're taking on the Phillies. And listen, last night started off the NFL season. The Patriots are the team that the Texans should be looking at the most, maybe battling in the AFC. Was last night a bad night for Drake May and the Patriots, or a sign of things to come? We'll discuss that coming up next as we continue right here live on The Drive.
95.7 The Fan presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Does have a single in his one career bat against Duran. This ball drilled deep to left center field, all the way back and gone. The trifecta for Cam Smith. Home run Tuesday, home run Wednesday, go ahead home run Thursday in the ninth.
The Candyman delivers.
There it is, man. The Candyman. Okay, whatever. There it is. 2-1. Astros lead in the ninth. Cam, three straight days in Philadelphia going deep. That is exactly why he needs to be in the lineup every day. When you compare him to everybody else that you could put in, he needs to be in it just because he has the potential of this. And now he's hot, and you hope maybe this is something that he can extend through the postseason. But at any moment, he has devastating power. And he has shown it in all three games in this series. And this off of Joker Tyler. He is spitting 100 every single pitch.
Triple
almost.
Digits.
He hit a 98-mile-an-hour splitter up out.
Yeah.
Helps get that ball out of there. Thank you, sir.
I'm with you, Ron. That is exactly, we've been talking about it since mid-season. That is exactly why I prefer Cam in the lineup, night in, night out, as often as you possibly can.
I know he's hitting 219.
I'm not worried. Look, I mean, we'll go down a list. I mean, that 219 ain't too far off of a bunch of guys in this lineup. And so, I mean, we're not, it ain't like we're bumping him up against a bunch of 270 hitters that they're deciding to play over him. But he is confident at the plate. Yes, his numbers aren't what you would like them to be, but he doesn't appear to be losing confidence. He appears to be.
That's his 20th homer of the year, by the way.
Yeah, man. I mean, he appears to be trending in the right direction. And at any point in time, with one swing of the bat, he can change the game. And I feel like, as a fan, when I'm watching him, I feel like there's a pretty damn good chance that he will if he's given the opportunity. So, yeah, man, I'm with you. That's exactly why I want Cam in the lineup every night, baby.
Yeah, no, that's
he'll probably get a little rest tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah, man. Hopefully not, man. Just let him ride. Just let him ride all the way through. Yeah, Cam, he is now third on the team in homers behind Alvarez and Christian Walker with 20 bombs, and he's not, you know, getting everyday swings. Three straight. Again, if you missed it, the Astros, they are leading 2-1 in the ninth inning after Cam Smith comes up to the plate and hits a huge bomb to give them the lead. By the way, Baseball Talk on 95.7 The Fan is presented by Xfinity. Score the most reliable Wi-Fi, one price, 5 years guaranteed. Xfinity, imagine that. All right, Clint, we had a big game last night, and the great thing about football, yes, because there's only 17 games, it matters, and it matters for potential standings and seeds. And when you see that New England goes down, there was a chance on the board. You look at it, man, on the road at Seattle, one of the toughest places to play, that's probably New England's toughest game. You could argue maybe at Buffalo, but that's probably their toughest game. And they had a chance to get out of there winning that sucker with the quarterback going down in Sam Darnold. However, they didn't, Clint, and they are now 0-1 right now in the AFC.
Yeah.
And this is a team, not in the AFC conference, but they're 0-1 right now. And this is a team that you could be bumping up against when it comes to seeding. And I would ask you, last night, we watched them. That was a weird game. It is game one, so maybe you shouldn't overreact to this. But did you look at last night just a bad night for Drake May and the Patriots, or do you think that was a bad sign and things a sign of things to come for the Patriots?
Well, I think two things can be true. I'm not overly concerned with Drake May and his play just because they were such piss poor bad decisions. Like, it's easy to fix. Like, hey man, cover two safety over the top. We're not going to throw a jump ball to Romeo Doubs. We're not going to treat Romeo Doubs like he's Randy Moss. All right, let's relax a little bit there. You know, the pick where the backside safety undercuts a seam route. I mean, that's a trick as
there were three people just all there.
But I mean, anytime you got that alignment and you get a cover, we call it a cover six, quarter halves, that backside quarter safety, if he doesn't have an immediate threat vertical on him, he's going to help immediately to the strong side of the formation. That wasn't a great play by a safety. You see that on film when you're in high school. I mean, that is just an unacceptable throw. And then the late throw that sealed the game at the end was just your typical panic, hold the football, panic, throw it off your back foot, ill-advised throw, gets picked off. Again, you're throwing jump ball. Was it Mac Hollins? I mean, they were so just in the moment bonehead decisions, not like a bunch of pressure, not wasn't handling the blitz or anything like that, just in the moment bonehead decisions that I think a quarterback of any, I mean,
especially a guy who finished second in the MVP last
year. Like, I mean, I think he obviously, that's just a bad night. Now the question becomes, with a more difficult schedule,
AJ Brown's going to miss some time with this high ankle sprain.
Right,
too.
Right. But it comes down to, this was a 13-10 game. This was a game that you work your whole offseason. It's like Houston. New England's the same way. That they work all year. They build their roster for that to be a 3-point game in the fourth quarter with the ball and a chance to win it. And they messed the bed. That was exactly what they wanted to have. And their quarterback made three bad decisions, and it ruined the whole game. Can Drake May play the brand that they want and win that way? I think that's the bigger
question.
With a better schedule, absolutely.
Against better teams. All right. I'll just say this, and maybe we can talk about this more. They were very conservative last night. They came out very conservative, and I wonder, is that something that we're going to see with a very similar offense run here? in Houston. Well, good for us. We'll be able to hear from the guy who was calling the plays and running that offense, Nick Caley. We'll hear from him as he meets with the media for the first time ahead of the Buffalo game. Let's see what he's got in store. Do you think Nick Caley will make you feel good? Do you think hearing him in this press conference, he will make you feel good about this offense? We'll discuss that next. Hey, by the way, Astros, pull it off. They get a dub. They win 2-1 and win the series in Philly. Again, another win against a team 500 or better. Big time W. Nick Caley coming up next.
95.7 The Fan. Live from the West Point Lincoln and West Point Lincoln of Sugarland Studios. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back here as we are live here on The Drive. By the way, once again, the Houston Astros get a big dub. They win this series and beat yet another team with a 500 or better record. This is, again, this is a real thing, especially when you look at the timing, Clint. This is now the Phillies. They've won a series on the road, to be honest with. The Yankees, they've won a series. The White Sox, they've won a series. They've won a series against the Devil Rays in the second half. This is everything that this is. All of these have been since the All-Star break. So this is a good team. By the way, coming up here in just a minute, we'll hear from Nick Caley. But the Astros continued this streak, and I just like I don't think you can just poo-poo that when you look at
95.
When you look at the field that we're going against,
yeah.
And nobody's a great team. So there is something to that.
Well, you didn't just win a series today. I mean, that's great and all, but you won a low scoring 1-1 ball game. You pull it out. You do it behind Christian Javier, who you need to really show up and show out. And, you know, Abreu was really, really good. He, you know, if you can get more of that from him, boy, this team's going to be tough down the stretch. And obviously Hader is a beast. But, it was a good win, another great series win. But kind of how it all went down was needed in a big way.
Yeah, big time, big time. All right. We're going to get Nick Caley coming up at 3 o'clock. We're going to get him next hour. We're going to get him at 3 o'clock so we can make sure we have enough time to be able to hear from Nick Caley all the way through. By the way, Clint, I do want to make sure we get a couple of things across. Celebrate three of Houston's biggest sports icons, and it is always one of the great nights in the sports scene here in Houston. On October 13th, the great J.J. Watt, Billy Wagner, and Billy Ching headlined the Houston Sports Hall of Fame class of 2026 in their induction ceremony. We've been able to attend several of these events.
Yeah, yeah.
It's always a great time. Bring your group and honor these legends as they'll be a part of this celebration of the Houston Sports Hall of Fame. This is a great event, and this is a hell of a class right here with these guys headline JJ, Billy, and Brian coming up. So make sure you get all the info to attend that. And tomorrow, Clint, first Football Friday, baby. We'll be out at Oak and Iron. Our great friends there, the owners are fantastic. Still gotta let me get in that whip. He let me see it. Let me take pictures of it. I think he got like an old school Trans Am.
Okay.
Yeah, let me take pictures with it. He's got to let me get in that whip. Let me drive that thing. But great food, great atmosphere, a really, really cool spot. And we'll be out there from 2 to 6, Oak and Iron. Come hang out with us Football Friday. You know we don't come empty-handed. So you got a chance to win some things as well. So come on out as football season right here on The Drive is officially underway, baby.
Definitely come hang out with us. But here's the deal: I don't think we need you. We got a lot of future ahead of us with Oak and Iron. I don't think you need to be driving his vehicles.
I don't know that I don't know that I want to drive. I just want to get in and
sit
in it. Yeah. I just want to get a sit in it. Let me take some real pictures.
A little spin around the block will be fine. But let somebody else do the driving. I don't need you.
It's probably a stick shift.
I don't need you ruining that relationship.
It's probably a stick shift. I don't have that.
Is that Tiger Woods?
Then you damn sure don't need to be driving it.
Hey, by the way, that we were there when we found out about Tiger.
That's right. We damn sure were.
We were there when we found out about Tiger. All right, Clint, I do think this is interesting. We were just talking about Drake May and his performance last night. And, Clint, I'll be honest. I have a lot of confidence in C.J. Stroud, more confidence than maybe others have in C.J. Stroud. But that, what we saw last night, that to me is the concern. Is I think C.J. Stroud and Drake May are in a similar spot, and I mean it from this standpoint. I think Drake May felt like he had a lot to prove last night. He wanted to walk out there. A lot of things we heard about his playoff run, his Super Bowl run. A lot of people talked about his numbers leading up to that. And, you know, hey, they had a snowstorm that helped him against Denver. And C.J. Stroud played the way he did against against them at home in the divisional round. And then the Super Bowl, he just absolutely got wiped off. And there felt like some pressing and some trying to make a play. And that, to me, is probably one of my biggest concerns of if CJ gets in that mode, because there ain't no player in the National Football League that feels like they got more to prove than a CJ Stroud.
Well, there's two things I think that are largely different here between the two quarterbacks, right? And I'm talking about mindset. It's not about physics, but just the mindset. Is one guy in Drake May has been applauded, awarded, right? His coach is talking about, we want to be aggressive, not reckless. So the word aggressive has been thrown out there. They sign a player that if he doesn't get enough targets, he's going to be vocal about it. You know, it's going to be a problem. They sign a player that is a throw it up in the air and let him go get it kind of guy. So that's been the messaging going into his head. I'm not making excuses for Drake May because they were all piss poor decisions, no matter who you have on your team. But when you look at all of that being the messaging and kind of what's going on around the quarterback, you could see that guy out there go out there without any preseason run and make some boneheaded plays in the first week of the season. CJ, on the other hand, is a guy that it has been beaten into his head that we got to protect the football.
Yeah.
I mean, we got to protect the football at all costs. Like that there is no shying away from that. This season and the Texans' ability to win at a playoff and maybe even a Super Bowl caliber level is about protecting the football. So I think those two differences will be what keeps a C.J. Stroud from having a rough first game, and really what I think the quarterback we're talking about in New England.
Oh, Drake
May. To have a bad game, right? I mean, the reality is in this system, you know, there should have been the messaging of, hey, let's minimize risk because that's what we do and that's kind of how we play offensive football. And it wasn't all off season long.
It was something I thought before watching Drake May just look like he pressed like hell in the fourth quarter for no reason. You had a 10-point lead, pressed like that. But my whole thought is off season, that's all I've been hearing.
Yep.
All I've been hearing. He ain't good enough. And who do they have in front of him? Arguably, you know, the guy who's been the best quarterback the last couple of years in the league and Josh Allen in his face. And, you know, does he get himself turned up? Does he get himself to a spot where he's like trying to do too much? Because I think
the challenge all year long for him.
Yeah, and I think there was some of that in the Patriot game. All right, hey, the offensive line is kind of in shuffles with Trent out and things happening. There's no Nico in the game coming out. Then the first drive, there's no Dalton Schultz.
Yeah.
You could see him saying, all right, I got to do it. I got to make plays. They score a touchdown in the first drive, the Patriots do. I got to make plays. That is probably my biggest concern for him. Looking over there, Josh Allen, they've been talking about me all offseason. I just hope he doesn't play outside of himself or try to do too much.
I think what you speak of, we talked about 2 months ago. I think when the schedule dropped, that is going to be the biggest challenge for C.J. Stroud. When you've got Josh Allen across the field, Dak Prescott, Joe Burrow, even Daniel Jones in the division, a guy that you feel like you're better than, right? I mean, when you got those guys that are running wide open offenses and got all kind of bells and whistles, they've got you know, what most believe to be some of the best play callers in the game, and you're over here asked to just minimize risk. Can CJ stay in that role? When the game's on the line, can he stay in that role and not try to Superman like those other guys do? I think that's going to be a challenge for any quarterback of that ilk, of that caliber.
Yep. All right, Nick Caley, we'll hear from him, and maybe he addresses a little bit of that coming up as we continue right here live on The Fan.